What an awesome honor to partake in the Lord's Supper, and even better honor to stand before you guys to bring His Word. I truly believe that it is divine appointment that you guys are here today. There's a message for every person here if you are willing to receive it. I promise you, don't harden your heart. Don't let your mind be cluttered. Listen, and the Spirit of God will speak to your heart of the changes and things that need to be done in your life. It's pretty amazing that I think Brother Ed actually picks this verse, because we didn't talk about this sermon at all. I would like to do the opening scripture, so if you would please turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. And if you have a pew Bible there, so Brother Ed, what is the page number? 1286. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I come humbly before you, Lord. Let me be the instrument. Let your word speak. Let your Holy Spirit flow through me. Knock on the door of each and every person here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of the sermon was actually given to Dad. Christian's inadequacy is God's method of choice. And he said he had started the sermon. And he didn't. He gave me a title. So as I was going through notes, I was looking to see, hey, well, What does he put together? What has he already started on? And all he gave me was a title. And I thought it was fitting that, God works in mysterious ways, and the title is so fitting, because we all deal with inadequacy. And what does it mean to be inadequate? You might be lacking a quality or quantity. This is the definition of inadequate. Insufficient for a purpose, or unable to deal with the situation or with life. You guys might be feeling inadequate right now. Where do we go as a church? How do you live life without a loved one who you spent in it years building? How do you live life without a mentor, a pastor, an instructor? It may be something completely unrelated. How do I provide for my family? Where do I go? What do I do? What do I do with my life? What am I supposed to do? Why am I here? Why am I here? How can I do this, Lord? This is me. How can I teach people? How can I lead people? And it's only through God's mercy and grace that that can be done. If you would have asked me last week if I was standing up here, I've covered the pulpit before, but not in this manner. And God caused Pastor Jeff to be called home, but I believe that he was delayed because God had to do some refining in every person's life that was in that room. He refined me. I am changed forevermore. I talked to my wife the other day about this. The man side of me, the personal side of me, walked around, and I still deal with fear and where to go. And I had walked around the hospital. I went for a walk just by myself, and I had been praying. I say, how, Lord? How am I going to do this? Where do I go? What do I do? God said, am I not enough? Am I not enough? He is all providing. You see, when crises come our way, when we're feeling inadequate, if you have the solution, you're your own God. Your intellect can help you now get through things. It's not what God intends for you. It's not what is fitting into His plan, His divine plan in each and every one of you in your life. In Psalms 8:4, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Man is so insignificant. Our life is just a fleeting moment here. And that just resonates like a trumpet in my ear. And I'm talking from the heart today because you all need to hear that. Because I went to work on Monday. I got a text from Jessica updating me on where Dad was at and treatment options. And the end of the text said that Dad had, worst case, 3 to 6 months to live. That was man saying 3 to 6 months to live. God has an appointed time for each and every one of you. You do not know that time. You could leave here today and God could call you home. Man is so insignificant. And life is so short here. You do not know where tomorrow will bring you. But I can tell you, I know where Pastor Jeff is. And I know the eternal life that was given to him. And you all can have that. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know, this is God, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That expected end, he wants you in his presence forevermore. He won't force you. He won't force you. Let's look at some examples of people in the Bible who were inadequate. I mean, go back to that definition. How about Gideon? He was a baker. A baker. You guys don't know the story of Gideon. God chose Gideon to lead an army that he weeded down to 300 men to take on the Amalekites, the Midianites, and the children of the valley. With 300 men, he was given victory. But it wasn't Gideon. It was God working through Gideon. Abraham, Romans 4:18-21, the promise of his seed, the father of many nations. Could you imagine? Could you imagine Tony and Ellie having children at your age? Game changer, for sure. But Abraham was faithful. I'm reminded of Katie's email. She sent, and Katie and Steve sharing about one of Pastor's old messages about Isaac, laying your Isaac down. God didn't want Isaac on the sacrifice to be sacrificed. God wanted Abraham to be solely devoted to him. And he accomplished that, what he wanted. Moses, a stuttering exile from Egypt, who was no longer a prince of Egypt, now a vessel of God to free his people. Talk about inadequacy. Standing before Pharaoh. How would I have the words to speak? God gave him that ability. God gave him the ability. Noah. You think he felt insufficient? Build me an ark to house my creation, two of every kind. God equipped him. God provided. He had a purpose for each and every one of those people I just talked about. He has a purpose for you. It's not too late to discover that purpose. I'd like to really focus on Paul, who was once Saul. Fitting that God gave these men, but I want to talk about Saul, who became Paul. Turn over to Acts chapter 9. And we're going to read through 1 through 8. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I love this. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Talk about purpose. God talking directly to him. And the men which journeyed with him stood beseeching, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. God blinded Saul. He spoke to him, and the fear of the Lord came upon him. For those of you who don't know, during the 3 days, we actually have a video of it. Pastor Jeff, one of the last things he saw and said was, I see him, the Lion of Judah. If you don't know who the Lion of Judah is, it is Jesus. And Jessica nailed it. If you had any doubt, it's real. And if that doesn't put doodads on your spine or fear of where your eternity is going to be, I don't know what can reach you. It's real, folks. The gospel is real. Don't put it under a bushel. Paul, having been blinded. Let's read in 1 Timothy. You guys don't need to turn now. I'll read it to you. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I attained mercy because I did it ignorantly in belief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. God enabled him through his grace. His grace that is sufficient for all man. But what does God want us to do? He wants us. How do we become adequate? Step one is you have to surrender. Amen. You have to surrender. You have to give it all. I talked to my wife last night about it. You have to give it all. You can't go half-heartedly. You can't. You cannot. Only with surrender can his plan and his purpose be fulfilled. Then he can be sufficient in you. Then he can fill your inadequacy. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 25, because everything I'm giving you right now, I'm supporting with the Word of God. Amen. And you have to believe that the Word of God is truth. Amen. And it's life. It's life. Jesus said, if any man will deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. It's again in Mark 8:35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it.
Preach
this morning God gave me that scripture, and we're going to turn over now to Matthew 19. And this wasn't even on my notes until this morning. And there's a story in here, and it starts in the verse, chapter 19, verse 16. And he said, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." We're all accounted for the slaughter, guys. Good intentions don't do anything for you. "But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And he goes through the sequence. And the story was, he was going to a rich man. And he said, "I keep all the commandments." Then Jesus said, If you are so perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to surrender. He wasn't willing to surrender at all. He wanted to keep a piece of him. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter in the kingdom of heaven." And I don't think he's just talking about a rich man with possessions. He's talking about a rich man who puts stock in him, his intellect, his knowledge, his bank accounts, his job. That's not your identity. It's not who you are. "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God." And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus said, "With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." And in Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, his way of doing things, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Don't be ashamed of that gospel. Don't be afraid of salvation. Don't be afraid of what others can do to you. It means nothing. Man has nothing to offer. When you breathe your last breath, man can't do anything for you. Dr. Sweet could not do anything for Dad. God is in control of each and every one of your destinies. Surrender. Surrender first. Paul said in Ephesians 4:1, "I am a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ." He had to surrender and become a prisoner that he could be used. And he had life. In 6:20, he said, "I'm an ambassador in bonds. I'm a bond servant." Another term is that it's to be a slave. And what happened then with Paul? I pray that you guys are receiving this. It can change you, I promise you. I'm hurting with Dad being gone, but I'm on fire that I've never had before. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verses 14 through 20. Let's read it together. Because you got to see. You got to see what happens here with Paul. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He bowed. Bowing is an act of surrender. Just like raising your hands in worship is an act of surrender. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Not the outer man. The mind is just a piece of the outer man. The heart.
The heart is the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Amen. Love. Love is what Pastor talked about. He had a sermon in the hospital room. He was not coherent. And when he came through, he'd only have like a minute or two, tops. And I think God gave him clarity. And he gave us 10 minutes of time that God spoke through him. And he talked about love. He talked about love, that he loved us, but he loved the Lord more. You can't love anything else before the Lord. He's got to be number one in your life. And he said, if you do everything, anything you do, if you don't do it in love, it's insignificant. It means nothing. You have to press on in the faith is the other thing he said. Press on. Cling to the cross. The cross is freedom. It's liberty. It's life to those who need it. Grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You can't understand it until you accept it and you feel it. Like, I'm feeling it right now. And I've been feeling it for 3 days. That you might be filled with all fullness of God. Now that unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's God. That's God's grace in us. That power. Everything I've been talking about as far as inadequacy, you're talking about now being filled. You're talking about exceedingly abundantly and having power and purpose. Once you've surrendered, then you must seek and trust. Seek him in his way. Mom, Jess, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, it said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." These are Jesus' instructions while he was here on earth. The Sermon on the Mount. And yeah, there's mourning right now. But Jesus said, I'll comfort you. You'll have comfort. For other people here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, just two verses later. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness is God's way of doing things. It's not our way of doing things. Feeling inadequate says, if you hunger and thirst for it, you will be filled. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, again, Sermon on the Mount. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Church, these scriptures have been said so many times. They have new meaning. They have new purpose. Hallelujah. It was the one I didn't know, but now I know. I know the truth, and the truth has set me free, and it can set you free. Key to that is you seek first. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, one of Dad's scriptures, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not partially, not a portion. Lean not on your own understanding. Understanding is your own intellect. You can't understand. I can't even understand. I think the scripture talks about like how the what was the scripture, Mom? You're reading about understanding the child being born in a womb and that process. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But it says, lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. My path's being directed right now. You can have that too. Surrender first. Seek and trust. And then the equipping happens. God's grace, God's empowering presence for us to do and B, what we cannot do and be on our own. It's not just merited favor with grace. God's grace in the Holy Spirit is the equipping. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, Jesus' words, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in the weakness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, God makes all grace abound toward you. You, always having all sufficiency in all things, and that may abound to every good work. Feeling insufficient, that's part of inadequacy. Having all sufficiency. It's here. The roadmap's here, guys. Not in 2 Corinthians 3, 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You could lose everything in a moment. You could lose your job. Someone could steal all the money you have. You could lose a loved one. Someone who you lean on. If that's your comfort, that crisis will come. You won't be prepared for it. It's been tough to lose a dad. But every time I opened the Bible, every time I prayed, a peace came upon me. In times of despair, his word is true. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, not some things, all things. Getting saved, Christ enters your heart. The Holy Spirit dwells there, and he does his bidding. He causes you to seek him and desire him and to fill you. And when you are filled, clarity comes. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 26, said, this is Jesus' words to his disciples and to the people. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us forever, if you bow your knee and surrender. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Steve, that's better, huh? Than any professor can do. He can teach you all things. When you realize the power of God's grace and the Holy Spirit, you can be forever changed. It took my dad to be in a hospital for 3 days and for passing, for God to get a hold of me. Wake up! Wake up, Jeff! My plans for you. Don't let that happen to you guys. I urge you to hear the words I'm saying. The Spirit is there. He is tugging at your heart to make changes, each and every one of you. What is the result? In Psalms 18, verses 30 to 32. Turn over there, because we're going to be closing. We're talking about inadequacy. If you don't realize you're inadequate, you're blind. In 18, verses 30 to 32, when you've surrendered, when you've seeked and trust, the equipping happens. And it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength, and he makes my way perfect. Perfect, guys. Can't get any better than perfect. Would you guys bow your heads? I want to read that opening scripture again. What's it speaking to your heart? Now the God of peace that brought again from our dead, Lord Jesus, who has been risen, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well, pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. There's some of you here that knew the Lord. You walked in his ways and you've turned away. You've put something else before him. You can make that right. That's you. I want you to raise your hand. It's an act of surrender. Surrender. Don't be stubborn. God knows your heart. He's speaking to you now. He's tugging on your heart. And there's some of you who may not even know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I pray. It's life. It's life eternal. You must know him to get that. It'll change your life forevermore if you really surrender. If you don't know the Lord and you want to know him personally, lift your hand to heaven. Now is the time for salvation. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Is he knocking on your heart? Let me in. I will sup with you. I will change your ways forever. For those of you who raise your hand for salvation, I gave you the charge. It's in Romans chapter 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. It's not just saying the words. It's believing in the heart. If you want to know him, then stand up. You will not be embarrassed. God is speaking to you. If you don't know, every man's given one point for salvation. There's no guarantee of a tomorrow.
I pray, Lord, that this is not the last. For those of you who raise your hand, that you had something before God, I want you all to stand up now. Let's just lift our hands to heaven. We're going to pray over you right now. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And you see the hearts of man here before me. They want you. They want all of you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that they surrender their life to you. They give everything to you. They give it all, that nothing stands between you. That they may come to know you on a personal level. That they hear your voice. It's awesome. It's awesome. Just say it now, that you surrender all. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for breathing new life into me. I want to seek and I want to trust you. Equip me, God, for all my days. Until I breathe my last breath, that I live my life for you and only you. You are first in my life. I love you, Lord Jesus. Change starts today. A new journey begins today for every one of you who believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.